Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we cut through the noise to get you truly informed. Today, we're plunging into the world of artificial intelligence. I mean, AI is just, it's transforming nearly every aspect of our lives, isn't it?
It really is. Think about science, education, logistics, even language itself.
Exactly. Its influence is truly global, impacting societies and cultures profoundly, sometimes in ways we don't always expect.
That's right.
But with this immense power comes a pretty monumental challenge. How do we navigate the complexities of developing and deploying AI across vastly diverse cultures? You know, cultures with different values, different priorities.
And maybe even more importantly, what innovative solutions are actually emerging? How can we foster better understanding, better cooperation in this rapidly evolving landscape?
Yeah, that's the core question.
And that's precisely our mission for this deep dive. We're going to unpack the critical issues of AI ethics. That's the big question of how we should develop and deploy these powerful systems ethically.
They should. Got it.
Then we'll dive into AI governance, which is, well, it's about the practical ways we actually ensure their ethical use, the how.
Right, the mechanics of it.
Exactly. We'll look at the barriers stopping global cooperation, and then, crucially, look at a really cutting-edge AI-driven approach that might just help bridge these divides.
Okay, let's start with that big picture. AI, especially machine learning, it's not just a buzzword anymore, is it? It's key technology for countries everywhere.
Absolutely. It's being applied in so many domains. Language translation, scientific research, you mentioned education, transport logistics. The list goes on.
And its impact on economies, societies, cultures. It's going to be immense, both locally and globally.
For sure. And you see in some developing nations, AI is already leapfrogging older infrastructure. Think about medical diagnostics or financial access in really remote areas.
That's amazing. But that speed also brings up tough questions, right? Like data sovereignty, equitable access.
Precisely. And this brings us right back to AI ethics and governance. Think of AI ethics as those should questions we mentioned.
How should we build this stuff, considering values like well-being, autonomy, dignity?
Exactly. Governance, then, is the practical challenge. How do we ensure ethical use? Is it regulation, frameworks, maybe softer guidelines?
They seem really tightly linked.
Oh, incredibly closely related. Governance proposals often come directly from ethical concerns. They're the action plan, really, for embedding those values.
And it feels urgent, this need for a global culture of cooperation around AI. As these systems get smarter and, well, everywhere, the stakes just keep getting higher.
They really do. Imagine if mistrust and misunderstanding get baked in early on.
Cooperation would become incredibly difficult later, so establishing this cooperative culture now feels pressing.
It's a huge challenge. Without it, you risk this fragmented AI world where great ideas in one place get blocked elsewhere just because of a lack of understanding.
So who are the main players shaping this conversation right now?
Well, currently you're looking mainly at three key regions, North America, Europe, and East Asia. They're pouring resources into AI research and development.
Lots of corporate and government money, I assume?
Yes, significant funding. And you see it in big initiatives like the EU's high-level expert group on AI. They're big on ethical guidelines.
Okay.
Then there's the partnership on AI, which is more of a nonprofit mix of industry and civil society. And, of course, major conferences like the Beneficial AI Series in the U.S. or the Beijing Academy of AI Conference.
So those are the hubs where a lot of the thinking on ethics and governance is happening.
That's right. That's where many of the principles are being hammered out.
Okay, let's unpack this then. We see why cooperation is needed, but what exactly gets in the way? What are these roadblocks?
Well, I'd say one of the biggest barriers, honestly, is mistrust.
Mistrust.
Yeah, especially between scholars, technologists, policymakers in the USA and China. It's quite pronounced.
Where does that come from?
It's rooted in a history of political tensions. Things have definitely escalated recently, often framing AI as this competitive race.
Right, the AI race narrative.
Exactly. And it's also underpinned by some fundamentally different philosophical traditions on things like data privacy. That just feeds this perception that the differences are too big to overcome.
And it's not just governments, is it? It trickles down.
Oh, absolutely. It affects researchers, developers, makes day-to-day collaboration tough, even on purely scientific stuff.
And we've seen specific examples recently that feed this mistrust, haven't we?
We have.
Like concerns about the influence of big tech giants in the U.S. or how people view China's social credit system. though perceptions there can be varied and sometimes outdated.
True. And then you have contentious AI uses, things like immigration control or criminal risk assessment in the U.S.
Or the tracking of communities like the Uyghur Muslim minority in China. That causes huge concern.
Definitely. Plus, you hear this adversarial rhetoric from political and defense leaders. Remember the U.S. Deputy Secretary of Defense talking about needing to be the threat in AI?
Yeah, that kind of language doesn't help build bridges.
Not at all. It just fuels suspicion, makes even well-meaning collaboration seem suspect.
So besides mistrust, what else?
Well, there's this tricky balancing act. How do you get global cooperation while still respecting cultural and geographical differences?
Right. We can't just have one or two countries imposing their values everywhere.
Exactly. Take healthcare AI. Different cultures might weigh privacy versus public health benefits completely differently. So region-specific standards might actually be necessary there.
But some things feel like they need global rules.
Absolutely. Like military AI, automated targeting, that stuff demands international agreement to prevent chaos and protect human rights.
So figuring out where that line is, global standard versus local adaptation. That's tough.
It's a really difficult distinction to make sometimes.
And then there are the more practical barriers, right?
Yes, the sort of day-to-day friction.
Like language differences, just not being in the same place physically, even immigration rules sometimes.
All that limits real communication and collaboration between research communities.
I remember trying a translation app once, and it just butchered a simple request. It really highlighted how much gets lost.
Yeah, those tools are getting better, but nuance is hard. And think about scientific publishing. It's still overwhelmingly in English.
Which creates an imbalance, doesn't it?
It does. Non-English speaking researchers often access English work, but the reverse, much less common. It creates these knowledge gaps, slows down the global flow of ideas.
Okay, so the barriers are significant mistrust, philosophical divides, practical issues.
But here's what's fascinating. Progress is actually possible without first resolving every single fundamental ethical disagreement.
Really? How does that work? We don't need total consensus on the deep stuff.
Not necessarily. We don't always need complete agreement on the really abstract why to move forward on the practical what.
Okay, that's interesting. A pragmatic approach shows it's more about reducing misunderstandings first.
Exactly. And misunderstandings go both ways. You know, sometimes China might oversimplify the West as just the USA, missing big differences between, say, US and European views on privacy.
And conversely, Western ideas about data privacy or the social credit system in China can be, well, outdated or just too simple.
Right. And people often miss that documents like the Beijing AI principles actually share a lot of ground with other global guidelines. They talk about AI benefiting all humankind, respecting human privacy, dignity, freedom, autonomy, and rights.
So there's more overlap than the headline suggests.
There often is. And this connects to a concept from legal scholarship called incompletely theorized agreement or overlapping consensus.
Okay, what does that mean?
It basically means groups with really different fundamental beliefs can still agree on specific rules or practical guidelines.
Ah, like families with different parenting styles agreeing on a bedtime.
Exactly. The reasons might be totally different, but they agree on the rule. Or think about human rights norms. They're grounded in diverse cultural traditions worldwide, but there's agreement on the core principles.
Yeah, that makes the agreement stronger, maybe, because they're supported by different value systems.
Precisely. It builds robustness.
And we shouldn't underestimate the role of academia and civil society in pushing things forward, should we?
Absolutely not. Their influence on policy is significant. Think about the campaigns around lethal autonomous weapons, the laws debate.
That led to UN discussions, right?
It did. Or remember Google pulling out of Project Maven? That was driven by employee activism and public pressure.
Yeah, that was huge.
And international input from academics and civil society definitely shaped things like the European Commission's AI white paper and even the U.S. Department of Defense's ethical principles. It shows these voices matter.
So what can academia specifically do more of?
Well, several things. We need more research on AI's impact in developing countries, working with local experts. Developing international frameworks for sharing safety research is key.
And digging into those perceived value differences.
Yes, rigorously researching them. Understanding where global standards are truly needed versus where regional approaches work. And crucially, translation.
Translation again?
Yes. Translating key papers and reports accurately is vital. Misinterpretations happen easily, Like that example of translating China aiming to be a primary AI innovation center into the world's primary center. That nuance matters hugely.
Wow. Yeah, that changes the meaning entirely. Fuels adversarial thinking.
Exactly. Plus, practical things like alternating major AI conferences between continents, setting up joint PhD programs, that all builds bridges early on.
Okay, so there are paths forward, but the challenges, especially around communication and cultural understanding, are still immense. It almost feels like, could AI itself be part of the solution here?
That's the really exciting part we're getting to.
Because, I mean, language is so tied to cultural identity, right?
Mm-hmm.
But globalization is threatening thousands of languages.
Mm.
And current translation AI, while useful, often strips out the cultural bits, the idioms, the history.
Sometimes losing up to, what, 47% of the contextual meaning? It's a huge loss.
Yeah. So here's where it gets really interesting. What if AI could help bridge these gaps?
That's exactly the idea behind this groundbreaking multi-agent AI framework for culturally adaptive translation. It's especially aimed at underserved language communities.
Multi-agent. So
yeah.
Not just one AI brain doing everything.
Correct. Unlike traditional NLP models that just process things step by step, this framework uses multiple specialized AI agents. They work together, collaborating to refine both the linguistic accuracy and the cultural adaptation. It's about depth and fidelity.
Okay, like an AI dream team for translation. Break down who's on the team.
Right. So first you have the translation agent. Its job is basically grammatical accuracy, getting the words right in the target language.
Standard translation.
Then, crucially, the interpretation agent. This one focuses purely on cultural adaptation, handling idioms, cultural references, regional nuances, making sure it feels right and makes sense in the target culture.
Okay, that's a key difference.
Then there's the content synthesis agent. It takes the work of the others and structures the final output, making sure it flows well, preserves important things like ceremonial speech patterns, and is readable.
Polishing it up.
And finally, the quality and bias evaluation agent. This is super important. It acts like a reviewer, trying to spot distortions, checking against historical data, detecting biases, ensuring fairness.
Does it check things externally?
Yes. It can use tools like, say, DuckDuckGo search to validate information. It's like an independent fact checker built in.
Wow. And how does this team perform?
Impressively well, actually. The system, built using frameworks like Crew AI and LangChain, those are like the toolkits for managing these agent teams. And using powerful models like iExpanse.ab, it actually outperforms big traditional models like GPT-4o in many cases.
Outperforms GPT-4o? How?
By producing translations that are contextually richer, more culturally embedded, the language is more evocative, the context is clearer.
Can you give an example?
Sure. So translating Grand Festival of Lights for Diwali into Hindi, it might use Mahan Prakash Utsav, which emphasizes the brilliance and significance, not just a literal translation.
Ah, capturing the feeling.
Exactly. Or for Turkish Nevruz, retaining the ritual importance of bonfire jumping. Or in Hebrew religious texts, ensuring specific ritual elements are included for theological accuracy. It's that level of detail.
And the workflow, how does it ensure this quality?
It's iterative. The user puts in text, translation agent does its bit, interpretation agent refines for culture, content synthesis agent polishes, then the quality agent checks it.
And if the quality agent finds an issue?
It sends it back. There's a feedback loop to the content synthesis agent for revision. Only then does the final culturally adapted output get produced. It's this constant refinement.
That makes sense. So stepping back, what does this imply for translation overall? Is this multi-agent approach the future?
I think it represents a real paradigm shift, yeah. Moving beyond those single monolithic translation systems, especially for complex stuff where culture and context are critical.
So single agent systems are okay for simple things.
Right. Quick translations, basic tasks. But multi-agent workflows where you have these specialized agents collaborating that mimics how expert human teams work. You get much higher accuracy, better handling of domain-specific knowledge.
Like having AI specialists.
Precisely.
You mentioned four core attributes that make these agents powerful.
Yes. First, autonomy, they can work independently once given clear goals.
Okay.
Second, tool use. This is big. They can connect to external tools, translation memories, special dictionaries, or even these RAG frameworks that pull in relevant knowledge from vast databases.
So they can access outside information. What else?
Third is memory. They learn from feedback, get better over time, refine their outputs iteratively.
Like feedback loop you described.
Exactly. And fourth is workflow customization. This is really flexible. You can set up these agent teams in different ways.
How so?
Well, you could have prompt chaining where tasks happen one after another, or routing. sending specific tasks to the best agent for the job. Parallelization lets them work on subtasks at the same time.
Faster results, maybe.
Could be. Then there's orchestrator workers, where one main agent delegates tasks like a project manager, and evaluator optimizer, which focuses on that iterative review and improvement cycle.
So you can build a custom workflow for, say, legal translation.
Absolutely. Maybe an orchestrator assigns sections of a contract to different reviewer agents specializing in specific legal areas, then an editor agent compiles it, just like a human legal team might operate.
And this has been tested.
Yes, there was a pilot study specifically on legal translation. They built a multi-agent system using that parallelization workflow, a translator agent, fluency reviewer, adequacy reviewer, and an editor agent.
Okay, a four-agent team.
Right. They used different models like DeepSeek R1 and GPT-40 and tweaked settings like temperature, which controls creativity versus precision. Then they compared its English-to-Spanish legal contract translations against top NMT systems like DeepL and Google Translate.
NMT being the standard approach now. Neural machine translation.
Correct.
And the results. Yeah. Were they actually better?
The results, evaluated by a professional human translator, were really quite compelling. The configurations using the larger DeepSeek R1 model, the multi-agent big setup, they significantly outperformed both DeepL and Google Translate. Not just slightly better, but significantly better.
On what measures?
On both adequacy, meaning did it preserve the original meaning accurately, and fluency, how natural and readable it sounded in Spanish.
Wow. Any specific examples that stood out?
Yes, there was a great aha moment. Translating monetary figures like USD 1 mils in, the multi-agent system got it right in Spanish, 1.00000 USD, using periods as thousand separators, which is correct.
And the standard systems.
They often made common errors, like using commas, which would be wrong in Spanish for that context. Small detail, but imagine that error in a real contract.
Yeah, that could be disastrous.
Plus, the multi-agent systems were better at keeping terms like agreement consistent across the whole document. That kind of contextual coherence is vital in legal text.
So the key takeaways from that study are?
Well, first, multi-agent workflows can deliver higher quality translations than standard NMT, especially for complex domains. Second, model size matters. The bigger models performed better within the multi-agent setup.
Makes sense.
And third, fine-tuning things like the temperature setting for each agent plays a role in getting that balance right. Future work will likely involve integrating more specialized tools, trying to scale this to languages with less data, and of course, figuring out how to make it cost-effective.
What an incredible journey we've taken then. We started with this urgent global need for cooperation in AI ethics and governance, facing huge barriers like mistrust and cultural divides.
And we've ended up looking at how AI itself, through these innovative multi-agent systems, might actually help bridge those gaps. Not just translating words more accurately, but preserving cultural identity in the process.
It's really fascinating.
And this shift towards multi-agent systems, it's not just about getting better translation, so that's important. It feels like it's about fostering AI that's more equitable, more sustainable, more culturally sensitive.
Yeah.
Technology that can genuinely help bridge linguistic and cultural divides worldwide.
Making communication and maybe understanding more accessible for everyone.
Exactly.
So a final thought for you, our listener. As AI becomes ever more woven into the fabric of our global society, how might these sophisticated, culturally aware, multi-agent systems not only lead to clearer communication, but maybe even spark entirely new forms of cultural expression, things you haven't even imagined yet?